You know it's not horizontal.
What's not horizontal?
It's tilted.
Have you seen those coins?
Oh!
The 500 peso coin.
Not just. You haven't seen the others?
Okay, what are
the other denominations? I only saw the pictures of...
10,000 peso coin.
There's a 10,000 peso coin.
That costs 25,000 peso.
Worth?
Okay. Yeah, it's gold. I forget the denomination before that was silver.
Yeah.
But I don't forget how much it costs.
The important thing is, the important question, is it blessed?
Ah,
is it blessed by Pope Francis
himself? It has his face on it.
It's
worthless. So, you know, like give on to the Pope, what is the Pope? Should buy the silver coins and like 30 of them.
Okay.
Silver coins are...
I think they're 5,000 pesos each.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I guess they're for white. How much? 7,000?
10,000, I guess.
Okay, by now everyone knows about the infamous diapers that everyone, especially the Pope,
is supposed to wear. In any case, according to this documentary,
the farts of the Pope are toxic. Way more toxic than the MMDA farts.
Is this documentary?
The Taiwanese documentary.
Animation.
Anyway, watch it in case you haven't.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Do you think it's pretty fitting that so many, I mean, at least several grown men are wearing diapers?
Oh, it is.
It's very poetic.
It is.
I can see. You're
it's
being...
very...
Yeah,
very
a lot of people are acting like...
Children.
Children. You know, bring the children to me and, you know, and stuff like that. So many metaphors here.
Yeah.
Bring the children to me.
Suffer little children. Come.
Okay. Okay, so the Pope is visiting. That's a huge thing. It's a huge
tomorrow.
Deal.
Oh,
or 80%.
It's happening tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. The touchdown.
So who has a
Thursday,
vacation?
5:00 PM is their touchdown. So...
Okay.
Airspace will be closed. Certain airspace will be closed. Roads will be closed.
And you have to be quiet.
You have to be quiet.
No, like there was.
Is there even a
like?
Okay.
I don't remember which government official said like we have to be quiet.
Yes.
To be peaceful.
That's Jesus.
There's also.
You have to. You know, it's so quiet you can hear people sinning.
Yeah. Like, guys, folks here, look busy. There's also the. Speaking of, there's this infographic.
Okay.
Well, more of a reminder from the Inquirer.
Ah, the do's and don'ts. I saw
it. Yeah, the do's and don'ts.
I didn't read it.
Here.
Mm.
And it's like, okay.
No, show the picture because, you know.
Oh, yeah, show the picture. All of these things make sense to do with or without the Pope.
Yeah.
And one of them.
Examples.
Just,
I haven't read it.
Like,
no brainer,
don't
really.
Don't disobey traffic regulations.
On regular days.
Don't litter and keep the environment clean.
Feel free to do all of these things.
When there's no one, when God's not over your shoulder watching.
Yeah, and like, there's only one thing that I didn't find necessary, which was like a dress code, like dress modestly. Don't wear tank tops, bare midriffs, and stuff like that. Like,
don't attempt the Pope.
Seriously, what the fuck is happening, guys? What the fuck is happening? It's like the Last Judgment or something. It's like the you know, people are gonna be selected whether they can go up to
rapture,
heaven and stuff like that. It's the rapture.
This is
why are they behaving this way?
It's a celebrity. This is the biggest celebrity that could come to the Philippines, I think. Like in a lot of people's lifetimes.
Yeah.
No one, nowhere else. Like
Justin Bieber was in Tacloban, wasn't he?
That was sort of a secret.
I don't know, thing.
But like in when else in our history has this been as a visitor been treated this
grandly.
Yeah. Like
John Paul II, maybe. Perhaps.
Maybe, but I doubt it was this huge. Like shut down airspace and lots of security measures. Obama wasn't treated this securely, I'm sure.
I would argue though that Pope John Paul II was a bigger deal because the Catholic Church back then was a bigger deal.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the case is now though, certainly that social media and media in general is more widespread, and so the hype is
and you see the hype. You see the fanboys really coming out and like treating him like the second coming of Jesus. Like, Jesus is coming to the Philippines. Mm. Hide all the dirty stuff. Like, pack up vendors, go move to the side, and let's tarp all the squatters areas for something.
Yeah, but you know what? Like call the Philippines one of the most corrupt countries in the world, even.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't think we're more corrupt than the Vatican is.
Like,
the Vatican should be cleaning up their act, visiting us, because they are dirtier.
Well, there's
okay, a not a lot of people know this, not a lot of people know the bad stuff about the Vatican,
yeah,
but this is our channel, we can say whatever we want. So if you don't want your progressive impression of Pope Francis tarnished, please still watch. This is and then
watch
confirm.
Anyway.
And then check whatever we say, confirm it.
It's your information vegetables, you need it.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
No. So a lot of people love Pope John Paul. He was a very big improvement in their eyes to the previous pope, who looked like
No.
The previous pope,
John Paul.
I know. Sorry, I'm talking about Francis.
Pope John Paul I. Let me just say this: is the best pope ever.
Okay.
I mean, smiling pope, my ass. The smiling pope is Pope John Paul I. Look him up as well. He's the best. Okay,
right.
Anyway,
I was talking about Francis, of course.
Okay.
In my head,
Pope Benedict.
Yeah, Francis. To a lot of people, a lot of Catholics, like, Francis is so much better than the previous pope, Benedict. So Benedict obviously looked like a villain to everyone. He had these red shoes, and you compare Francis to him. So everyone loves Francis without the armored trucks, without the expensive garbs.
Mm.
He looks like everyone's saint, and what they would imagine Jesus would be if he came to Earth and he came to the Philippines. So lots of Catholics love him, and there are arguments for why you really shouldn't be celebrating him as much as you do, especially the atheists who seem to find him the most agreeable pope.
Mm.
And you wrote something about it.
Yes, I did, and so did our producer. Here's his latest article.
Here's his picture.
So anyway, let's start with the most important thing. The most important thing: child abuse. Okay, the pope, the Catholic Church can change their mind, change their doctrines even, on matters such as LGBT, equality, treatment of atheists, contraception, and all that. But if they don't get this one thing right, they'd still be more corrupt and worse, more evil than the Philippines, right?
Right.
Child abuse. The clerical child abuse scandals. Just imagine this, okay? My article isn't out yet, so might as well tell the story. There's this boy, 13-year-old boy. He needed epilepsy medicine but couldn't buy it. So he asked help from an archbishop who gave it to him for free in exchange for sex.
For free in exchange for sex.
That's not so actually very expensive.
There's fine print. The fine print is, you know, but seriously, this is no joking matter.
Yeah.
It happened for 4 more years since it started, from the time the boy was 13 years old to when he was... How often do you need epilepsy medicine? I don't know. So
still,
they do it
it was
continually until essentially the archbishop was found out. Okay? And how was this archbishop found out? Okay, here's the story. I can't tell the entire story in that article that I wrote, but I can hear.
Okay.
It's not that long anyway. The pimp who would get the boys for this archbishop, his name, by the way, is Joseph Wesolowski. Okay, the papal nuncio to the Dominican Republic. So there's this guy who would pimp for him, who would get the children and get them, you know, to meet this guy. He would arrange the meetings. The guy was caught doing the pimping. It ain't easy. Anyway, he was thrown in. Sorry, he was thrown in prison, and he thought that he would get out because the guy was papal nuncio, and you know, Wesolowski was expected to have some influence, but he didn't get out. So he wrote letters, dated July 2, if I'm not mistaken, sent to so many officials. So 2013.
Okay. Wow.
This was 2013 when this was happened.
He was arrested. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, July 2013. He was the guy was arrested. So people more than the Wesolowski knew about what was happening, right? Because of the arrest, and officials in the Dominican Republic even went to the Vatican to tell Pope Francis himself. So Pope Francis directly met with these people. So at least by August 2013, Pope Francis already knew about the allegations.
Yeah.
Okay, the allegations were so many. It was not just this one boy, but so many other boys. Several minors even admitted to masturbating in front of this then archbishop,
mm-hmm.
and performing oral sex while he was taking videos, while he was filming the acts. Okay, so Pope Francis, what did he do? He found out August. Okay, he acted very swiftly. August 21, Wesolowski was secretly moved to Rome, transferred to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no word to the authorities, no word to the general public. Nobody knew. Okay, until a broadcast happened early September, the next month.
Mm-hmm.
The work, a year-long preparation for the broadcast that detailed all of the allegations against this person.
Mm-hmm.
This broadcast that happened was the first time that the authorities in the Dominican Republic found out about the allegation. And of course, they wanted to investigate this guy, right?
Yeah, but he was gone.
He was gone. They couldn't do it. But okay, the investigation happened anyway, and the district attorney had no doubt that the allegations were
true.
Okay, he heard these stories, the story of the person with epilepsy, several other stories. A year later, okay, let's fast forward. We don't want to spend the entire podcast on this. There are many more bad things about Pope Francis to talk about. So a year later, a year and a month later, September 2014, Joseph Wesolowski was finally arrested in the Vatican.
Okay.
Why was he arrested though? Okay, there were requests for him to be extradited to at least two countries, the Dominican Republic and Poland, his native Poland, right?
Okay.
Instead of extraditing him, the Vatican official said, no, we're actually trying him right here in the Vatican this year.
For what?
For child abuse. Instead of sending him to those countries. And these are the things that the UN Committee, Council on Torture, criticized the Vatican for. Transferring church officials so that they could evade prosecution, you know, stuff like that. Not letting the secular authorities do their job.
Yeah.
Right? And
withholding information as well.
Okay. They did share this bit of information though. In a laptop owned by Wesolowski, they found 100,000 child pornography files.
Okay.
100,000.
I don't even think I have 100,000 programming files.
I thought you were gonna say pornography files. Okay, but anyway, child pornography files, more than 100,000. Get this, they were categorized into folders with specific, you know, I don't know, 12 years old, 13. Oh, I don't know.
Crap.
Horrible. It's horrible. And this is the same Pope Francis, the progressive Pope Francis that all of you guys are rooting for. You know. We could stop here.
Yeah.
And that should be enough for you to not like this guy, to not like this institution. It's still happening. 2014.
Protecting these
people. And he's consistent. This is an important bit. BishopAccountability.org, which has one of the largest databases of clerical child abuse in the world, records so many cases of child abuse, at least 100, in Buenos Aires. Like alone in Argentina, where Pope Francis is from. You know, it was Cardinal Bergoglio.
Uh-huh.
He at least had 4 cases where he was directly involved. Okay, but instead of bringing these 4 to justice, here's a link. He actively worked so that these guys wouldn't face prosecution. Okay, by making secret reports, you know, in at least one case, Father Grassi, I think, by making reports that would prove the innocence of the abuser and discredit the victims. Okay, this is the same Pope Francis. He hasn't changed. You know, what's the difference? Can you tell me the difference between Pope Benedict and Pope Francis? What's the difference?
It's image.
Image, correct. Greg Burke, this guy that they hired,
The PR dude from
Fox News.
Yeah.
Fox News. He only worked for Benedict for, I don't know, he was hired 2012. So the only meaningful thing I think that he did for Pope Benedict was, number one, to convince the guy to join Twitter. I think. And second, maybe to be replaced.
Yeah, you know what?
To convince him to be replaced.
We need your help on Benedict, and he just we need a new guy. Yeah, we need a new guy.
Oh, who's that smiling guy right
yeah.
there? He doesn't seem as smart as Benedict, but the smile. You know, imagine that guy kissing babies, you know, cleaning feet.
Yeah.
You know, people will just forget about all of these child abuse shenanigans when they see this guy kissing feet and kissing babies. And washing feet and kissing babies. So there you go.
Kissing feet.
You didn't know about this? Anyway, let's grant, for the sake of discussion, that Pope Francis changed his mind on contraception, on LGBT rights. If he's still the same on child abuse, he doesn't deserve your respect.
That's true.
These are monstrous things that the organization has done. And that he hasn't. I mean, it's the bigotry of low expectations, of low standards. And that's just what it is. Who am I to judge? Let's move to that. I'm not saying who am I to judge. I'm not sinless. Yeah. But I don't have child pornography. Okay, let's.
The same thing about the who am I to judge is, the church is against that quote and a bunch of other quotes that are being put on t-shirts because the church, the CBCP, is saying that they're being taken out of context. That, wait, hold on, this is what the Catholic Church has been doing when Pope Francis says things that a lot of Catholics agree with, because they're closer to liberal than the church really is.
Yeah.
So a lot of Catholics will cling on to these things, like, who am I to judge? Hey, he's pro-LGBT. And the church always has to backtrack, wait. These are being taken out of context, and these things are really still wrong. And then, so, like you just illustrated, there's so much shit about Pope Francis, and I bet a lot of other popes, and a lot of Catholics will always look at the bright side.
Yeah.
Always like try to forget the things that they disagree with, like that certain things are out of context or criminal records or whatnot, and they will always cling to these things that they think they agree with.
Yeah, one of the points in our producer's article is that people are going to project onto the Pope the things that they want him to say.
Kind of like God.
Yeah. Because he is the, like...
Yeah, the vicar of God.
God of down here.
The vicar of the Son of God. Okay.
So, like, yeah, the image, the people are going to form an image of the Pope. And the Pope's going to throw these statements that can be taken in any which
ambiguous
way.
Statements.
Yeah, ambiguous
statements. Yeah.
And so they're all going to say, okay, this means this.
Mm.
It's great. It agrees with what I think.
Okay, let's look at that one. Who am I to judge? Let me tell you a story again about this. So Monsignor Rica, who was very close to Pope Francis, he was assigned Pope Francis' representative to the Vatican Bank. In the Curia, so that's a very important position. He was the eyes and ears of Pope Francis in this one institution that he wanted to reform.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very important position, but it was later discovered by everyone else. I don't know how much Pope Francis knew about this guy, that he was having sexual relations with this other guy. Of course, that's not allowed in the Vatican. So a huge scandal broke out, and the critics, of course, were all on this guy. Like, you should fire this guy. He doesn't represent the interests of the Vatican. He's not a good Catholic and all that. So Pope Francis was being interviewed about this person who had already apologized, who had already gone through the official motions, you know, whatever it is, confession. And, of course, that implies changing his mind, not doing the bad thing anymore, right?
Yeah.
So what Pope Francis said was, if someone... you know, seeks God and has goodwill, you know, which means, you know, confesses, changes his mind, repents and all that, then who am I to judge this guy, this person? You know, so he was referring to this one specific case of a person he knew.
With a million prerequisites.
Yeah, with so many prerequisites, you know, seeking God's will and, you know, having goodwill.
Yeah.
According to the Catholic Church, that's not so simple. Like, there are so many prerequisites for that, as you mentioned. And he was referring to this one guy. He wasn't making a blanket statement for all of LGBT individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying that, hey, the Catholic Church represented by me is now okay with all of you lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders.
Unconditionally.
Yes. That wasn't it. But the entire context was dropped by all of these people who so readily wanted, again, to hear Pope Francis say something progressive. So, still nothing. I mean, how could someone, you know, who when he was cardinal of Argentina, you know, he said such statements as marriage equality or same-sex marriage is a war that we have to win because it's something that that Satan himself invented to destroy God's plan.
We should get this on a shirt.
That's, you know, that he didn't change his mind. He changed his PR guy.
That's
all that happened. You know, he's still saying stuff like this, but he's being more ambiguous. He's being more politically correct about it. You know, he doesn't wear his bigotry on his sleeve anymore.
People should really just read the actual context of what he says instead of putting their meanings into whatever small lines that he makes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There are actual things that he says that don't need to be taken out of context.
Yeah.
And they're really not as nice as you want them to be.
The social media generation is kind of like a double-edged sword in this case. Because on the one hand, it's so easy to confirm all of this.
Right.
It's so easy to read about it. But a lot of people don't have the attention span for it.
Yeah, headlines, subtitles, and that's about it. You pick out what you want. There might be 10 articles you disagree with about Pope Francis. And the one that you agree with, that's what you share. And that's what your friends will see. Mm. And everything that you don't like about Pope Francis gets hidden.
Okay.
So, like this podcast might actually be.
So, to wrap up, if there's one thing you can take away from this thing is that Pope Francis is still not hard on child abusers.
And the Vatican...
Far from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Vatican is not the cleanest country
in
the world. Like, however corrupt the Philippines may be...
Yeah. We don't aid and abet child abusers.
In absolute corruption count, I'm not sure, but per capita, definitely they are above.
And yet, despite all that, the Philippines will continue to love and idolize Pope Francis. We love our idols, the Black Nazarene, the Santo Niño, and now Pope Francis.
The leader of an organization that continues to protect child abusers and enable them around the world is on a 25,000 peso coin that has 10,000 peso written on it. Okay. Jesui Charlie, or you know, or if not, just read more about the issue. If you're hiding under a rock, Charlie Hebdo, you have to read about this issue, make up your mind on it. We have discussed it in the previous meetup. We will discuss it still in the next one. We hope to see you then. And thank you for watching this podcast. See you next time. Goodbye.